Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Premier Cardiovascular Health Podcast, where we transform lives through expert advice on nutrition and exercise. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Huff, a board-certified interventional cardiologist with a passion for health and performance. I'm here to guide you towards a healthier heart and a longer, more active life. Let's dive into today's episode and take the first step towards making you your best self. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. As promised, today we're going to talk about how to be successful with your health program during travel. Okay, so how to be successful with your health program during travel. And that may not be a formal program you've prescribed to, but just the program you've developed for yourself to be healthy. This is something I didn't fully appreciate until I began traveling for work. I understood it. I understood the limitations, but I didn't fully appreciate it until I began traveling. And it was at that point that I realized how disruptive it can be if you let it, especially if you're traveling every week for work or even twice a month for work. It can really mess up your schedule. I think it's important to distinguish between work travel and vacation travel. I think both obviously can affect your plan. They can affect your nutrition and your training plan. But for vacation travel, I like to view that as sort of a deloading week, meaning I know vacation's coming in, let's say, a month. I push really hard. And then when I hit vacation, I view that as a recovery week or a deloading week. Doesn't mean I don't exercise. Doesn't mean I still don't focus on nutrition or pay attention to nutrition. But I think it's really important to understand that during vacation, your priority is to recover, to make memories with your family, and to have fun, to enjoy life. It doesn't mean you completely stop moving and you eat 10,000 calories a day and you give up everything you've worked hard for, but it means that the focus doesn't need to be on that. It should be on other things, okay? That's vacation. Work is totally different because work comes up frequently. And if you don't have a plan, then it's very hard to be successful long-term. Because just when you're starting to gain momentum, you may be traveling out of town for work and eating differently and not having time to exercise. And that can leave you very frustrated. And I can tell you that for me, it took several work trips to get into a groove, to understand, okay, this is my new life. This is how it's going to be. How am I going to be successful? And to come up with a plan to be successful. And I'm going to share with you today what I have done to make sure that I do not lose fitness and health while I'm traveling. So the core message of today is that to be successful during travel, it's not about doing everything that you normally do while at home. It's about identifying behaviors that keep you from losing your momentum. Okay, so let's start. The goal during travel is not to chase PRs. The goal is to preserve the momentum and avoid an all or nothing form of thinking, okay? And some people, me in general, can get into this habit of, well, if I can't do it exactly how I want to do it, then I just won't do it, right? It's all or nothing. If I'm going to eat occasional meals out and drink more than normally, then this whole week I'll just say, forget it, and I'll eat however I want, and I'll drink as much as I want, and I'll just use this as a total party week. I'm 47. I don't really party anymore, but you know what I mean. You don't want to throw everything out the window. It's not all or nothing. Okay. There are some principles that I follow during travel. So looking at the big picture, the 30,000 foot view, these are things that you need to focus on when you travel. Number one is move every day. Okay. It may not be formal exercise. It may be just going for a walk, but move every day. It may be, you know, you're on an active vacation where you're hiking. Okay. So look, you're going hiking for 3 hours with your family. You don't need to go to the gym afterwards, right? You know, that was a big move day for you. Okay. Number two, plan ahead. So when I travel for work now, for instance, I leave on Sunday to go to South Dakota to work in the cardiac catheterization lab for 10 days. And I may be on call 8 of those 10 days. Now, when I'm on call, that means at any time I can be called back into the hospital, you know, anytime during the day. It could be 3 a.m. It could be 10 o'clock at night. It could be whenever. But I tend to look at my schedule before I go and know what days I'm not on call and mark those as definite, hard stop, have to go to the gym days, because those are days I don't want to be interrupted. And I need at least two gym sessions per week, at least two. So I will go ahead and mark those, and nothing that comes up can pull me off of those days or of going to the gym those days. So there's nothing that takes a higher priority. When I leave work, you know, I still work, but when I leave work, I have nothing else to do. I am in South Dakota. My family's in Ohio. I have nothing else that needs to be done. So I don't need to say, I'm feeling a little tired today. Maybe I'll take this as a rest day. Or someone invites me, let's say a colleague says, hey, you know, let's go out to dinner. Let's grab a drink. Let's do this. Nothing takes priority over those gym days. Okay. So those are marked on my calendar. That's a hard stop for me. So I plan ahead and I know those days I will not budge on. I'll also look at days where I'm more likely to get longer cardio sessions in, and I'll mark those on my calendar, but I need to be a little bit flexible there depending on what kind of call night I have. So, you know, if I get called in at midnight and I'm there until 4 a.m., it's very hard to then get up at 5 a.m. and go for an hour run, right? So I need to be a little bit flexible, but I know days that I'm more likely to have longer cardio sessions than others available to me. So I mark that on my calendar as well. I also keep a big picture on nutrition. I'm at a point in my life where I don't track calories and macros because I know what's in the food I eat. So I'm not going to track when I'm traveling anyway. But if you are someone who's usually tracking exactly what they eat, I would say that during travel, it may be much harder, particularly on vacation. So just think big picture. Just think, I'm going to get protein at every meal. Do not have a meal where you do not have protein. Don't have breakfast cereal that has no protein in it. It's a terrible way to start the day, a breakfast muffin, right? Don't do that, all right? Every meal, have protein. Try to include plants and fiber at most meals. So breakfast, that may be fruit, maybe blueberries, it may be a banana, right? So have plants with every meal, or try to. Try to avoid routinely drinking calories unless it's a protein shake that is your meal, okay, or part of your meal. But try and avoid drinking sugar-containing beverages that have calories, excessive alcohol with calories, and protect your sleep when possible. So there may be some late nights that are built into work or built into travel, but in general, don't just stay up to stay up, okay? Just binging TV or Netflix. Protect your sleep. You need it. All right, let's focus a little bit more about how to be successful with exercise. So this is the part that's tough for me. I talked about protecting my gym days. Those are super important to me. But also, you need to understand that things may not be normal for you in terms of time committed to a workout. So I normally do cardio every day of the week except one, okay? And on the weekend, one of those cardio sessions is long. It's either 90 to 120 minutes. When I'm traveling for work, I don't have a window to do that usually, okay? So instead of just saying nothing's going to get done, it's just not going to get done, I will be okay with doing harder, more intense 20 to 30 minute sessions consistently. If normally you run on the treadmill, and I'm just making this up, run on the treadmill for an hour on Saturdays, but you don't have an hour window, you have a 30 minute window, then okay, go 30 minutes, but maybe increase the incline, maybe run faster, maybe give your body a 30 minute hard stimulus as opposed to an hour long moderate stimulus. Other ideas would be 10 rounds of 1 minute hard, 1 minute easy on a bike, maybe a 25 minute full body dumbbell circuit in the hotel gym. Maybe your hotel room doesn't have a gym. Maybe you can only work out in your room. Okay. Do a 25 minute hotel room body weight circuit, push-ups, sit-ups, lunges, burpees. You need to understand that the time available for you will not be the same as when you are not traveling for work. You need to understand that the equipment that you usually use will not be available. So you have to be okay with adapting so that you keep momentum, so that you don't lose what you've built. Remember, these travel weeks are not great weeks to build cardio or build strength, but they can absolutely be used to maintain what you have and not lose it. But only if you're okay with adapting and not taking an all or nothing mentality. They don't have a Peloton bike here. I guess I'm just not going to do cardio. That's how you lose momentum. Okay. You need to learn to adapt with what you have. Well, I don't have a 2-hour training session. I might as well not go. Do the best you can with 30 minutes. It's also good to have a plan A, plan B, plan C. I travel to 2 different places, so I know what's available at those places, but some people are traveling all over and it changes every month. So look ahead. What is plan A? Is there a nearby gym that offers some sort of discount for your business or people who work in your business or people who are staying at your hotel? What's plan B? Can you pick a hotel that has a nice gym, like one that you can actually do a good strength workout or has the cardio machine that you enjoy using? Plan C? No, we don't have any of those things. But you know what? I have a hotel room with space for me to do body circuit workouts, and I will do those consistently every morning that I'm there for 15 to 20 minutes. Plan A, plan B, plan C. Now, I touched on this in my last podcast, and I think it's super important for anybody who wants to become fit. You have to consistently exercise. And I think one of the ways to be consistently successful with getting workouts done is to commit to working out in the morning. I don't know what time you have to be at work, but if you can get up an extra 30 minutes to an hour earlier and get your workout in, and you can get used to doing that, you are way more likely to be successful. That time is protected. The kids don't need you. Your spouse doesn't need you. Work doesn't need you. That is your time. And people who are able to do that then crave that protected time, that time in the morning that's just them, where the world is quiet and it's just them and the exercise they are doing. So please listen to me when I tell you that work towards getting up early and getting your exercise done. Then it won't be hanging over you all day. You won't be stuck at work thinking about how you're going to get your workout in. You won't have to say no to people who invite you to do things after work. Things will come up in your family that need to get done and you're able to do them. Not to mention, it just provides a stimulus to be successful through the rest of the day. There's something about your mood that changes when you have completed a workout in the morning and you're walking into work knowing that you've been up for 2 hours already and you've already exercised and you're ready to hit the day with a stride. Now, in terms of hotel gyms, this is how you make those work. Okay. They're never great, rarely. So you can, like I said, search for a hotel that has the best gym for what you like to do. One of the places I visit, there's no good options there. None of the hotels have great gyms. So what can you do? You can find a hotel that has at least one piece of cardio equipment that you enjoy doing, okay, and that you can do consistently. You can make dumbbells work even if they're not heavy. That's the other thing. How do you make dumbbells work if they're not heavy enough for you? You focus on other ways to increase muscular demand. And I've talked about this on previous podcasts, right? So focus on the eccentric part of the lift. So for instance, if you're doing dumbbell bench press, that's the down, slow and controlled down and explode up, slow and controlled down, explode up, right? Focus on the eccentric part of the lift. Number two, increase the reps. Sure, I like to do heavy dumbbells for more sets with fewer reps, but if I don't have those available, then I'm going to do high reps. I'm still going to stress my muscles. So instead of, let's say, 5 sets of 6, maybe you're doing 3 sets of 15 because that's what you need to do with the weights that are available. Shorter rest periods. Normally, I like to rest at least 2 minutes, sometimes 3 between heavy sets. But if I don't have heavy weights, I don't need that rest and I want to put more strain on my muscles. So maybe I rest 45 seconds, maybe I rest 30 seconds, really depending on the weight. But the whole point is to stress the muscles. So focus on the eccentric part of the lift, increase the reps, decrease the rest between sets. I would also add that you could do burnout sets after the weights. So burnout sets with body weight. So let's say you're doing dumbbell bench press and you've done 3 sets of 15 because the dumbbells are really light and you focus on the eccentric part of the lift and you've shortened the rest and afterwards you still feel like you have more in your system, well, do 100 push-ups, okay? So that is a good way to put your muscle under stress, okay? And get something out of the workout. Something is better than nothing, right? All right, let's talk about nutrition a little more detailed. So I will tell you, for me, I absolutely, when I travel, have to have a fridge. If there's a hotel with a suite that has a full fridge, that's fine. But if not, for me, it's Airbnb or a Vrbo. I have to have a full fridge because for me to be successful with my nutrition, it requires me to eat consistent meals, at least 2 meals of the day. Okay? So the point here is opt for a suite with a fridge, or find yourself an Airbnb or a Vrbo that has a good fridge, that has a good kitchen, right? Breakfast should be consistent, and it should be calorie controlled, and it should be high protein. Now, for me, that's overnight oats. Sometimes, actually, I should say, when I'm on the road, for me, it's Greek yogurt with fruit in it. But it's always consistent, meaning if I'm staying at a Vrbo in Kentucky and all I have available to me is Oikos Greek yogurt, that is what I have every morning. I have the same amount, the same fruit every morning. It's predictable. The calories are predictable. The protein's predictable. It's consistent. So breakfast is always controlled for me. I'm never going into the hospital and eating from the doctor's lounge. I'm not eating breakfast at home and then going in and eating a separate breakfast in the doctor's lounge. That is my breakfast. So be consistent with breakfast. Ideally, you would be consistent with a second meal of the day. Now, depending on what your work looks like, that unpredictable meal could be dinner if you're entertaining clients. It could be lunch if your office is ordering food. But I try to be consistent with 2 meals out of the day. For me, when I travel, I don't buy any groceries that you would store in a pantry. I eat from the fridge, so I try and avoid any processed carbs, right? So breakfast, overnight oats or Greek yogurt, dinner, brown rice with a protein source. And I eat that consistently. Now, what can vary sometimes is lunch. Lunch is served in the doctor's lounge, and if there is a salad, I'm always going to have the salad. But sometimes there's different protein sources, and sometimes there's different vegetables, and I don't always know what they're cooked in. And I try and do raw vegetables from the salad bar when I can, but sometimes they don't have a salad bar. One of my jobs, you know, last week, like 3 of the days I was there, there was no salad bar. They replaced it with different things. Anyway, so that meal wasn't consistent for me. So I focused on being consistent with breakfast and being consistent with dinner. So I don't know what the unpredictable meal is for you when you travel, but if you're consistent with 2 of your 3 meals, that will be a success. For your unpredictable meal, focus on building that meal around the protein, okay? So I preached on this. I eat pretty plant-based, pretty plant-forward, but there are some animal products that I will eat as long as they don't contain saturated fat. So build around your protein, whether that's chicken or fish or tofu or egg whites. Build your meal that's unpredictable around the protein. So if your office orders in from a restaurant and they have it out along the counter, stack the protein up first. After that, add vegetables. Try to avoid processed grains. Whole grains if they're available. If they are not available, skip it. If you're eating out, you may opt to not partake in food ordered to your office. It's harder to not partake in a meal where you're entertaining clients, obviously, but food ordered to the office, you may opt to not partake in that. You may bring your food in, and that's a great idea too. But don't get caught in the habit of bringing food for yourself and then also eating the office food. That's a way to fail in terms of taking in excess calories. So be careful regarding that. If you do not think you can resist the temptation of food ordered to the office, then don't also bring food for yourself. If you can resist the temptation, then sure, bring food for yourself. All right, what about when you eat out? Same thing. Think protein, then vegetables, then whole grains if they're available. But build your meal around protein and vegetables. I personally bypass the bread service. I think most of the time the bread is processed grains. It's calories that you don't need. Try and avoid the bread. I also try to avoid appetizers. Now, again, please understand, it's different when I'm on vacation versus when I'm traveling for work. You know, if you're traveling for work and out with a colleague or entertaining guests, and every night you go out and have bread and appetizers and the meal and alcohol and the desserts, you're going to be over calories every day. So again, ways to be successful, avoid the bread. Try and avoid the appetizers. Build your meal around protein. Look for lean protein, okay? Plant-based protein. I like plant-based protein, but I'll have chicken. If that's not an option, then for me, it's going to be chicken breast. No saturated fat, lots of protein. Alcohol. I think you should be okay saying, I'm not drinking tonight. I think you should be okay with that. I think we live in a society now where people are very health conscientious and people understand when others don't want to drink. But if you're going to drink, limit your drinks. You don't need a cocktail and then wine with dinner and then more after. Limit your drinks. Those are excess calories, not to mention it's going to disrupt your sleep. So be okay with not drinking. Now, I've had a client tell me this before, that when he's entertaining other clients at dinner and everyone's drinking, it really stands out. People really notice it. And with what he does for a living, he needs to feel part of the group rather than separated from the group. And I get that. I get that. But just be careful on the amounts you consume and understand the trade-offs. So if you're going to take in calories from wine, again, skip the bread, skip the appetizer, skip the dessert. Okay. Another way to be successful when you eat out, and this is something my grandfather did his whole life. So whenever he would eat out, so he would say that restaurants always bring you more than one person should eat. So when he would get his meal, he would immediately ask for a box and he would box half of his meal and he would take it home. So he would eat half, he would box half. When he boxed the half and it was away, it was off the plate, you know, obviously he wasn't going to eat it. But if it was in front of him, he would. And I'm that way. So I like to finish tasks. So you put a big plate of food in front of me, I'm probably going to finish it. You give me half of it, I'm probably going to finish it and feel satisfied. So consider boxing half your meal before you even start eating. Another thing I recommend is walking after big meals. So if you're going out for a big meal with clients, when you get home, maybe walk, move a little before you go to bed. It is one of the easiest things you can do. It increases your daily movement, your steps, obviously. It helps to break up that dinner to hotel room and go to sleep or lay around, watch TV habit. That pattern is just not a great one. And brief post-meal walking increases your postprandial use of glucose. So you're stimulating your body to use some of the calories that you've just congested. So get in a habit of doing that. All right, moving on from there. Protect your sleep when you travel. I mentioned this earlier. It's so important. I'm going to keep this brief, but don't sacrifice sleep time watching TV. All right, your sleep is so important. The later you stay out, the less likely you're going to get up to exercise the next morning. And if you don't get up to exercise, you're going to lie to yourself and say you're going to do it after work, and then it's just not going to happen. So when you're traveling, get sleep. Protect your sleep. I tend to set a consistent sleep time. You know, when I travel, I'll certainly watch TV. I'll watch Netflix. But if it's 9:30, I'm usually in bed. I'm turning everything off. Regardless, if I'm halfway through an episode, I'm going to bed because I need to protect my sleep time because I know I'm going to get up in the morning to exercise. So set a cutoff time, stick to it. I said this on the previous point, but avoid excessive alcohol intake. You will sleep poorly and you will not want to wake up. You will not feel refreshed. So avoid excessive alcohol intake. Try to avoid daily alcohol intake. Manage your caffeine. If you are a slow metabolizer of caffeine, you may not want to drink it in the afternoon or evening. I'm a fast metabolizer. I know this because I had it tested as part of my genetic testing that I did. And it made perfect sense to me because I can drink a espresso at 10 p.m. and fall asleep at 10:30, right? I metabolize caffeine very quickly. So that's not a problem for me, but if it's a problem for you, avoid it in the afternoons or the evenings. Avoid large meals when you can. Avoid large meals immediately before bed. That will also affect your sleep. It will affect your quality of sleep. Try to avoid that. If you're going on longer trips, then you need to try to transition to the destination time zone. If you're going on shorter trips, then you can try and stay in your home time zone. When I go to South Dakota, sometimes the time difference is 2 hours, sometimes it's 3 hours, but I will actually try to stay on my current time zone. So meaning I will go to bed early. Sometimes I'll go to bed at 8 o'clock just because I don't want to be too far off my home time zone for when I get home. That may or may not work for you, but it tends to work for me. Last thing I'll say is that you need to be careful of not overcorrecting when you get home. Okay. So if you had a trip where you ate poorly, don't come home and starve yourself and say, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Don't do punishment workouts because you didn't work out as hard as you normally do while you're there. Don't do excessive cardio outside your range of normal because you're trying to make up for workouts that you missed. Don't undergo some extreme detox. I think what's more important is to get immediately back into your routine. If you get home on a Wednesday, don't wait till Monday to resume your normal routine. Get back immediately on your normal sleep schedule, your normal cardio schedule, your normal weight schedule. Get back on your schedule as soon as possible. All right. These are just some of the pearls I have for being successful during travel. These are things that have worked for me. I hope you find this helpful. And as usual, if you have any questions about what I do or what I suggest or any advice that you need, please send me a DM on Instagram or Facebook. You can message me on my website. I'd be happy to answer those questions. Take care. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in to the Premier Cardiovascular Health Podcast. Remember, a healthy heart equals a happy and long life. Keep up the great work, stay motivated, and don't forget to laugh along the way. Catch you on the healthy side. Just a reminder that this podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. Always consult your physician before starting any new health or fitness program. If you don't have one, reach out to me at the link in the description of this episode. The opinions expressed are those of me, Dr. Christoph, and do not necessarily reflect the views of any medical institution. Thank you.